Car Parking Podcast, brought to you by Right Honda out of Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm your host, Jay Finning. Got a lot to get to today, so I won't take up too much of your time. First and foremost, I want to thank everybody for reaching out after each episode to give me your feedback, to give me your thoughts. That is very, very much appreciated. Also wanted to send thoughts and prayers to our friend Ben Thorne of Gears and Gasoline as he sits in the intensive care unit, who's battling a pretty serious case of the COVID that has gone down to his lungs. But between Dress Up Bolts, who used to be a sponsor of this podcast, in fact, they were one of the first sponsors early on when the podcast was taken off. And it was pretty rough. This, you know, the audio quality, the content, it wasn't really where I wanted it to be, but they kept with me for a while, at least a year. And they actually funded the Gears and Gasoline video. So a lot of people have seen that video that has my car when it was wrapped, my friend Robbie's car, my friend Brandon's car. And it's like turbo NSX, naturally aspirated NSX, and supercharged NSX video. And, you know, that video has got well over a million views. And because of that video, I can point to that and Dress Up Bolts and say, they hold a high level of responsibility in my car back when it was rat being as recognized as it was when I would drive in multiple places. So, you know, sure, I may have designed the wrap and I went to SEMA and all that kind of stuff, but without the exposure that that tandem provided, I don't think my car would be nearly as popular as it was able to get to when it was wrapped. And so, yeah, Ben Lynn, which is Tall Ben, and Ben Thorne, which is little Ben, but thoughts and prayers are with him. In studio, we have Mimi, Ride or Die. So those of you who are local to the Arizona scene should be very familiar with her. Those of you who are not, hopefully you enjoy this. This is the first time she's been on the show in a long time. And then also Nick Keck, Just the Tip Nick, has stopped by studio to help me out with the Q&A segment. So we're going to get to that right after the word from 4Wheel Online. Jay Finning here, and I want to tell you guys about 4Wheel Online. For over a decade, 4Wheel Online has been bringing the best truck accessories and truck parts to enhance the appearance and performance of all trucks and SUVs. They are dedicated to providing an extensive range of upgrades that will match any maker model on the road. Their truck products cover everything you need to give your truck a custom look and added functionality. And if you need a tire and wheel package, head over and use the configuration tool. They carry all the major brands of wheels and tires, so go get outfitted today. So visit them online at 4Wheel Online or call them at 813-769-2451. Again, that's 4Wheel Online, the number 4Wheel Online. Time for the social media highlight of the week, brought to you by Cell Shop, Arizona-based retailer that strives to be your destination of choice for wireless services. Visit them at cellshop.us, at cellshop.us. Mimi back on the show. It's been a long time. Welcome back to the Hard Parking Podcast.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back. I think the last time we were on the podcast, or you had me as a guest, was via phone in the very beginning of the pandemic. Like, toilet paper was sparse.
That's right.
I think there was a few things that were kind of up in the air. Lots of theories and, you know, got to go down that rabbit hole. I think, who did we have on with us? One of your friends from out of state.
I want to say it's Alex Gamina. Yes, it was Alex, thinking back, because I was talking about bidets and you guys just kept rambling.
Oh my gosh.
He's actually an artist.
That's hilarious. I remember the whole bidet conversation.
Yeah he
so
does.
So many people got one during that time frame.
So if you go into like the Microsoft store and you see the big pictures on the walls, mm-hmm. he's the one who edits those.
Oh, so he's not IT. He just works with computers, designing computer things, advertisements rather.
Very, very high-end monitors. The smallest detail in photos that any normal person would never care about.
Yeah.
The people who audit those pictures care about. And it's like, dude, spend 4 hours redirecting a cable because it doesn't look right in the photo.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can only imagine. Try and make it look as perfect as possible. Yeah. That was a long time ago then. I mean, obviously, we've seen each other
a lot
between now and then, yeah, sure. With everything going on in events, but yeah, it's good to be back. And I'm in
studio. And you're in studio,
yeah,
exactly.
I mean, like, literally walked in and was like, I'm actually here. I'm here. I got to absorb it. It's totally Jay. 100%. Everything you could think of.
Missing the booze.
Oh, well, I saw that downstairs. So, okay. And that was proper, by the way.
I do have a lot of booze in the closet, actually.
I love how you hide it. It's hidden. I would put it
out. It's overstock.
Oh.
It's really what it is.
Downstairs.
In boxes and shit, yeah.
No, I like your setup downstairs. It's proper. I felt like I was at like in a one of those dive bars in Philly, you know? It's like real high end.
Oh, damn. I'll take it. And
like
we're going
to dim the lights a little, you know?
Yeah, we've talked about getting you on here and having a drink and stuff like that. And the studio is just, it's still not done, but it's getting there.
No, it looks great. I mean, it's definitely a lot more going on in here than my music studio. I'm slightly jealous. And you did all this yourself, which is, again, totally you. And whatever this guy is right here, there's this little cloth guy stuck on the wall with buttons
for
eyes.
This little crazy looking.
What is that?
Witch
magic?
Like your,
why doesn't it have pins in it? Or no, wait, it does. Is that a pin? No. Yeah. One single pin.
So that is something that Jaylene made
for
me. I think she was in middle school.
Aww.
She went through this phase of just making a bunch of weird voodoo doll looking things.
It's a little scary for a kid
to
bring home.
It's a little creepy, yeah. But
cute.
You know,
I used to
put it on my backpack when I traveled.
Aww.
And I think I was digging through some stuff.
Good
luck,
John.
I should put this on the wall in the studio just because it's bizarre.
He fits in perfectly, too. It's an awesome space, and I'm stoked to be here. And I got my nice hot coffee. Thank you for that. I did, for those of you who know that coffee is like it's my lifeline. And I showed up this morning without it. Just so not like me. And of course, when I walked in the door, first thing they were, hey, do you want anything?
Actually?
Coffee by chance?
Well, no, you did the normal thing.
Water.
Yeah, I'll take some water.
Yeah.
But you know what?
I think I
smelled
the coffee.
I'm comfortable enough to ask for coffee.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So let's talk a little bit about you. We just got done with a big month of September. And so I apologize. I wanted to get you in September so we could launch this episode in September. But
it's both our faults.
I guess the good thing about that is it's not like the things that we talk about are just limited to September.
No, 100%. It's all year long.
Yeah. So we just did you just did your fourth anti-donut meet.
It's crazy, right?
Mental health awareness, suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Want to tell us a little bit about that and the why behind it?
I wanted to do something that I mean, obviously a lot of the events I do, I feel very close to, and helping the community as much as possible is always something that I've always wanted to do. So being able to do that through events and including the automotive community that unfortunately gets such a bad rap all the time. And a lot of them, you know, over time, they become very close friends. Some of them pretty much like family.
100%.
You eat dinner together. You have drinks together. You celebrate holidays together, birthdays together, things
like
that.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I have people like that.
Are you trying to say, hold up. Breaking news. Are you trying to say that people go to car meets and they don't just sit there and talk about how cool their cars are and what they have under the hood?
No, I learned that kind of myself, right? And then so, I mean, honestly, I think a lot of us in the community, you have no choice but to, when you see each other so regularly, to go beyond the conversation of what new car parts do you have, you know?
Right.
But it's awesome when you get to that point where, you know, you can actually share deeper conversations. And I feel like I have a natural knack for people to kind of open up to me, because as much as I have social anxiety and I'm always freaking out in my head, like I'm in my head more than I think people can ever comprehend, people will open up to me. And I started kind of thinking, you know, September is a really, it's geared towards specific mental health awareness, you know, suicide prevention specifically and awareness. But it is a topic that should happen all year long, which is why I think I don't just do it in September. I think we've done it now March and then in September.
Sure.
But during the very beginning of, you know, this pandemic, obviously we've had more before then, but I think more people than ever are struggling with mental health. So I myself went through so much stuff, and having people open up to me and tell me about what they were going through, you know, I just felt like we needed to do something that could bring that awareness in the form of an event, but not make it so it's like a trigger, or, you know, because you do have to be sensitive to that, or also making it depressing, right? Which bringing the community together in general is a beautiful thing. So having people say things like, oh, if it wasn't for the car community, you know, I don't know if I would be here. You'll find me saying that often, because even in your darkest moments, you know, you can get in your car and go for a drive and listen to some music, call one of your car friends, and chances are they're down to totally link up, you know.
It's an escape.
Yeah, it's awesome. But, you know, I went through a lot of stuff in 2018, and with that, having more time on my hands and being able to plan all of the amazing events that we were doing, and going through some really, really dark times myself, I don't know how I came up with the name Anti-Donut Donut Me. I also have this weird, pat myself on the back real fast, natural knack for coming up with names for things.
Yeah, you're kind of creative like that.
Right? Like, so are you, though. Like, I do have to say, I feel like, and maybe it's an artist thing, some people are just good at it, just trying to find a name that could define something that people will connect with. And then also you have the Antisocial Social Club. But I, you know, I hit Anti-Donut Donut Meat because there was a lot going on in the scene that was ruining it for that connection, that getaway that you were talking about. A lot of the meets that I was doing, like Tuesday Eats meets, you're sitting down with people at a dinner table, you know, eating with 20 people that some of them you know and some of them are new and they've never, you know, come out to that meet before. And meets like those started having like the cops show up, you know. So you started having police officers come out thinking, oh, you guys are part of this whole other side of the automotive scene that's taking over, you know, the back of Costco and whatever.
Sure.
Or blocking intersections. So it became a lot harder. Yeah. To plan events without having red tape. So you're constantly having this need for paperwork, or you have the city literally reaching out to you saying, hey, I need to know more about this event. And then they want you to fill out all this paperwork. Then you got to pay, you know, for permits. But I, you know, I've been doing events now for longer than I can even remember. And if you're doing it with a local business and you're on their property, you know, you don't need permits.
All the red line.
Yeah.
But then the people are swimming back and forth on the street like so hungry sharks waiting for someone to slip up.
Yep. And not only that, that's where a lot of this stuff kind of happened was, you know, naturally people cars get loud and you can't help that. But then you do have the people who ruin it for everybody else. So there were a couple big meets that got shut down that were really epic. I want to say, was it not Clean Culture? Who was it that was doing?
Driver Mod.
Yes.
That's it. I knew it was something mod.
Yes.
Yep. Driver Mod. Yeah.
And you had people who were already struggling, you know, in life, even pre-pandemic, you know, that this is their way of socializing, you know, meeting new people. We live in a world of the internet, right, where everyone's constantly consumed by that. So this was a way of just bringing everyone together. And the more that started happening, the more even I would get depressed, because now the one thing I love and I'm passionate about, you know, started getting difficult to do. And it was like my self-care, my therapy, getting out of the house because I struggle with agoraphobia and, you know, social anxiety. So I was thinking, let's just put something together that makes it so that the cops and the locals and the, you know, the businesses understand that, you know, we're here just to have a good time. We're not going to, not all of us are reckless drivers, right? We're not only, you know, going to hang out, we're going to bring you foot traffic, right? And enjoy whatever it is that you serve, be it, you know, a lot of people do the boba tea meets or pizza places or there's like smoke shops or, you know, the list goes on. And a lot of times these takeovers, it includes doing donuts in the middle of the intersection. So I was like, Anti-Donut Donut Meet.
Right.
Let me do this at a local donut shop. And then my son and I, we were just kind of scoping out some place to get donuts because he's lived kind of in between my house and his dad's house for, you know, his whole life. And he missed the Brooklyn donuts that we used to get every now and then. Just like, they're like, I mean, huge donuts. Can't eat a whole one yourself unless you're like super hungry. And he's like, Ma, let's find some like good donuts. I mean, not Dunkin' Donuts. Like mom and pop style donuts. Yeah.
Like East Coast.
Yeah,
good donuts.
Exactly. We're East Coasters. You know, you're always looking for the, and I've lived in Philly. So finding those little divey spots, and he's so accustomed to that. You know, he knows that there's something more than like those big chains. So we're, you know, driving around and I just plugged it into my phone, just put donut shops. And then bam, literally as we're like approaching the local donut, because we live right in that area. Mm-hmm. And we're both looking because it looks like an abandoned parking lot, right?
Sure
it's
does.
It's like run down. Yeah. For Scottsdale, it's not like, you know, the best looking spot. Kind of looks shady, not going to lie. Like out of nowhere, you just show up and someone's going to rob you. But, you know, it turns out we go inside and it's like the best thing, I think, ever. You know, I know there's a few spots similar. They do very custom donuts, but got to talk to the owner and tell him how excited we were to find this spot and felt like it was just this little gem. And I'm looking around the parking lot and I'm like, hey, is that car wash like open? He's like, no. I was like, are these businesses here open too? He's like, yeah. Like, you know, so I'm like, you know, hey, I have this idea. And so it just started. And next thing you know, it was like, he was pumped. I was pumped. I remember telling you guys all about it. And there were, you know, things that I had going on with my car and I was hoping to have like the reveal done in time. But yeah, I feel like that first kickoff just so happened to be in the month of September. It was perfect timing. And the idea was to bring the community together. Let's not promote, you know, driving recklessly. Let's do the opposite. Let's promote driver safety, respecting the spot, anti-donut, donut me. Let's eat donuts, yep. Not do them. And let's do this because this is a family to so many of us. This is our escape. This is our way to get together for more than just cars. And I've had so many people, you know, previous event, during this event, and still continuously today through the fourth one, you know, DM me on the side and say thank you for doing this meet. And then opening up and telling me their story. And it's amazing to hear that others feel the same way, you know, that I do, that this needs to be something that everyone becomes aware of, yes, all year round, but it serves so many purposes, right? If you think about it, it's almost like three different purposes. So letting the cops know, hey, not all of us are, you know, bad seeds. Letting the local businesses know, hey, we're going to hang out in your parking lot, make you some money.
Yeah, I was going to say,
we're all good people, I promise.
As a business owner, and that proposition has got to be, okay, well, if you guys can behave yourselves,
yeah,
not only can
Especially we
probably benefit from this financially, right. But if you guys behave yourself, people are going to drive by wondering what's going on. They're going to come in.
Yeah.
But I would imagine there's always those big challenges with neighboring businesses, and sometimes that ruined it the first time.
Yeah.
Shut down too.
Yeah. So the first one, that's exactly the thing, is trying to show businesses that we aren't all a bunch of, you know, hoonigans. No offense, love the hoonigans, but you get what I'm saying. After that first event, everyone was very well behaved. It was very big. I think we counted over 80 cars on the lot at one time, but we had more than that because there was a turnover. There was no traffic blocking the street. Everyone was parked nicely. The flow of traffic throughout that lot was perfect, but yes, the lady at the corner, who unfortunately has gone out of business through the pandemic, could have benefited from the foot traffic.
Maybe.
But, you know, so I even went around and told those businesses, hey, I'm doing an event here, you know, like make a flyer, come around, hand stuff out like to the foot traffic. It's almost like free promotion for you, you know?
Yep. Or bringing the people to you.
Yeah. There's a bar there. There's a barber shop right there, you know, like I think. There were a few small businesses, but you know, I guess long story short, she said, nope, can't do it here again. So unfortunately, I had to move the event, but I guess luckily I've got connects at spots. So we did it over at Superior Image Car Care the second time. And then I think even the third time right before the pandemic, and just brought the local donuts to the people.
Yep, I remember that. But we were just there.
Yeah,
so we're right back to where you started.
Yeah. After the pandemic, he reached out to me. I've become very kind of close with them. They're super sweet family. I had a little baby and everything, and they struggle hard during the pandemic to stay open. But, you know, they started doing like curbside pickup type thing, which I think a lot of people were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think he realized, you know, hey, this shopping center is going to be under construction. And it's crazy that he found that out, found the date out, and was like, I need to hit up Mimi. We're doing another event, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He DM'd me, and I was like, yo, it's funny that you say that, because I was literally just trying to plan, you know, as we're approaching September, where I'm going to do it again. You know, I had a couple donut shops. So Fadeen reached out to me. He runs the Good Scent, right? He had said through DM, hey, I have a spot that I think it would be, you know, cool for your next anti-donut meet at the donut parlor. I think that's actually, I don't want to say Gilbert Mesa, maybe. So it would have been kind of cool. You
know, he's a West Sider, so maybe.
Opposite side of town. I don't know if it's like family or not, mm-hmm. but he said that he spoke to them already and they were really excited about it. I think they were fairly new to the area. So, you know, I was going to do it there. So then I thought, oh, let me do it at AZ Euros, you know, because, man, that their whole dyno, I just was like, we need to push this thing more, you know. And we did an event there, the cruise with One Auto, and they loved it. They were like, wow, this is awesome. So they were all ready to do it, but they went through some changes. They're expanding. So it was just crazy that the owner of Local Donut reached out the perfect time and just said, hey, want to do an event. And I was like, is everyone cool with it there? He's like, they all moved out except for the parlor right next door. So I was like, wait, for real? He's like, yeah. It's like, all right, let's do it. I think I only had like 2 weeks, if that, to plan it, but it's the anti-donut meet. So I was like, okay, people have been, you know, wanting this. I feel like more than ever, even through the pandemic, we're now hearing how the schools, as kids have gone back to school, they're wearing the masks, but their social lives aren't the same. I can't imagine being a teenager through all of this. My son is 13.
Right.
And watching him go through this, I mean, think about your childhood. This is something I'm going to flip it real quick. Think about all of the things that you learn as a teenager that prepare you for the rest of your life in a way. Like, you know, you ever get into fights with your friends out in the streets or something, and then like the next day, you're friends again, you know, or like you're really mad at each other, and then your friend group kind of splits up because some people go this way and some go that way. And it just becomes like this weird little neighborhood war. It's like all these little things that kind of start to teach you, you know, who you are, what you're going to deal with, what you don't want to deal with in life. Like all these social skills, you know, how to stick up for yourself or whether or not you're going to stick up for yourself or you're going to be bullied or what have you. Kind of skills that these kids are never going to get back at this point. And in school, going through puberty, you know, I always made jokes like, hey, you know, I don't know if guys do this in the locker room where you're like comparing armpit hair or like whose voice is deeper as they go through puberty, right? Like, whatever. Girls, we used to crack up in the locker room over like who had a bra and who still had like these little white little t-shirt things that like our parents would make us wear under our shirts before you were allowed to wear bras. I don't know. I'm kind of older. I don't know if they still do that to this day, but they didn't even get a chance to experience that, you know, because they weren't going out to the malls. They weren't going out and even hanging out with one another, really. I mean, some parents still let their kids hang out, obviously, but for the most part, isolation. And listening to my son talk about how these kids at school are super depressed, the teachers super depressed, school's not exciting. And then we're talking about a kid that's like, you've met my son.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely social, very, you know, he's my kid, right? Telling me that, you know, crying actually, which was the first for me to see my son sobbing. It's like heartbreaking about how depressing school is, how everyone's, you know, talking about, suicide and girls.
Everyone's talking about it. That's the thing.
That's scary, yeah. Right? And then, you know, girls, he said he's like, it's like an epidemic. He called them barcodes. I said, what are you talking about? He's like, their arms look like barcodes. Trigger warning. They're cutting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, are you serious? What is the school doing about it? He's like, well, we can't have, you know, group therapy or anything like that. They can't have, you know, when you were a kid, you'd have people come to like the auditorium, like a public speaker. He would talk to you about don't do drugs or like, you know what I mean? I don't know how school was for you, but we always had someone coming to our school to talk to us.
I think that, and we're kind of getting over to the more society, which is nothing is wrong with that.
Yeah.
But a couple thoughts on that is, I mean, I don't know how different the school dynamic is for kids these days, you know, of Copeland's age.
Yeah.
Versus even my own children who are in their 20s now. And obviously us.
Yep.
You know,
They're stolen masks, by the way.
I know. That's a whole other ridiculous conversation, but I don't know. So this pandemic era is now spanning to its second school year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how many of those skills are actually really missing out on yet.
Oh, yeah.
I think if this is the new norm, there's an issue. There already is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going out and playing tag. But then again, I don't know what kids are even doing these days anymore, because the biggest conversation.
Yeah, they play video games and they're on social media.
Yeah, the biggest conversation even before the pandemic era was that.
Yeah, they weren't as social.
Extreme disconnect.
Oh, dude, I remember going outside one time of my house and going, there's no kids playing outside. This was before the pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I moved from Trenton, New Jersey, okay, where you really don't want your kid outside playing in the street. Like, I grew up playing in those streets, and even though, you know, I wouldn't change it for a thing, you get into a lot of trouble.
You do?
Yeah. I lost a lot of friends. So I was like, I'm not going to raise my son, my only son, my only kid in this area. You know, I want to move somewhere where we could be outdoors more, be around kids more. So I'm standing outside one day and I'm thinking, there ain't nothing out here but a damn tumbleweed. And there's a park right there, dead, you know, like I would be the one taking my son out to go for bike rides and do fun stuff, you know, like let's go toss the football or something. And we found out that there was a boy, his same exact age, went to the same school that lived across the street from us. 2 years in.
See, our era, crazy. That would have been our best friend.
That's what I'm saying. Sleeping over each other's houses.
Yeah, that would have been our best friend.
I mean, that's exactly how we grew up. Almost every kid in the neighborhood would be found all at once over someone's house. And I mean, typically was always our house, even though my dad was pretty scary. I mean, we'd have all the kids in our pool before my dad came home from work, and everyone would just jump the fence and disperse as soon as his car came up. But you're right. We would all be out in the woods together playing basketball on the basketball courts. We'd be out till the lights basically came on. And I said to him, did you know there was a kid living right across the street from you? He was like, what kid? It's like, do you not see each other when you walk to the school bus? You know what I mean? But these kids, their faces are in their phones or their social life. So having him say to me that everything has completely shifted to the point where he's not excited about anything anymore. I now bring him to car shows. He sits in my car.
He does. Yeah. I can attest to that.
Right. And that's so not like him. So, and I'm a huge advocate for talking. We talk a lot.
But he's also...
he's going through some stuff.
You know, he's 13.
But that's the thing. He doesn't even know how to invite his friends out. So let me explain that this event expands generation to generation, right? So the event itself.
Everything you do does.
Yeah.
I'll just add that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean.
Every event you plan.
One
is
auto
for everybody.
In itself too. And being a part of that. I'm 42, you know, like we're not too far apart at the end of the day, but there's so many generations in it that the younger generation, I think, is what means so much to me, because I feel like I experienced a solid 90% of my trauma in life and like rough times from the age of like 4 all the way up to 20. But that time frame really, I think, is what is still affecting me now. You know, like it kind of comes back in ways that it's like, wow. That's what I'm trying to prevent. I know I can't prevent everything, but I'm trying to prevent that feeling of nobody understands. You know what I mean? And I know that sounds so crazy because everyone always says, oh, but you're never really alone. But when you are a kid, period, whether it's the pandemic or not, there are things that you think about that you're just like, I wonder if anybody else is going through this. And then when you hear about how society treats, you know, people who think a certain way or feel a certain way, then you kind of like put it all inside and you don't want to talk to anybody about it because you're like, God, they're going to think I'm crazy.
I'm one opinion away.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, to kind of bring it all, circle it back, I think listening to him talk about everything, knowing what it was like to be a teenager and have it be rough already, and then imagining being in this situation where you can't go to the malls, or even, you know, you can now, right? But for a whole year, as this kid developed into a little young man, like his voice changed. I woke up one day and walked
like,
into
who
the
is
bedroom.
That?
Yeah. I walked into the bedroom one day and I was like, dude, my baby boy has turned into this long, lean, you know, no more big old puffy cheeks. His voice has changed. I was like teasing him. So I was like, oh, I see some hair under your arms. It's you. I was like, oh, you're growing up so fast. You know, and but to see him go through all that and not really be able to talk to anyone but his mom. Because like, we talk about everything. I'm like, this sucks. I want you to go hang out with your friends. Like, I want you to go experience what it's like to be a little gang of boys running around. You know what I mean? Or girls, whatever. And I was like, why don't you call your friends up and ask them if they want to hang out? And he goes, what? I'm like, yeah, that's what you do when you want to hang out with your friends. Nobody wants to hang out. I was like, how do you know? How do you know? He's like, well, we're all playing video games. I'm like, and you all live like within bicycle distance of each other, you know? So one day, I was like, just pick up the phone and say something. He's like, well, I don't have to. Well, I'm in Discord. Whatever. I don't know much about Discord. I feel like old lady when this kid talks about certain things. But he goes, I just put something in Discord. So he did. And all of a sudden, he had five friends that were like down to go out. They were all going to the movies. And he came outside. He was so excited because I was in the garage working on some stuff with Matt. Came outside. He's like, guess what? I was like, what? All my friends want to go to the movies together. And this is the first time ever in this kid's life that he would be going to the movies, mom dropping him off. Like, I'm not even hanging out with him. You know what I mean? Giving him some cash money, being like, dude, go do whatever it is you're going to do. Eat whatever you're going to eat. Have a good time with your friends. I always say the same thing. Don't steal anything, even though I don't think my son would. But you never know. Peer pressure, right? Don't do this. Don't do that. You're good. I don't want a call from, like, mall security.
Sure.
He goes with his friends. I don't think I've seen him so excited to have motivated all of his friends that who then in turn said thank you to him. Dude, I've been so bored. Like, thank you for inviting me out. So when he got in the car and picked him up, I said, see, everybody wanted to hang out. They just needed someone to initiate it. But because these kids aren't socializing like that, even initiating contact to go do something like that felt so awkward. None of them would have ever done it, it seems, unless at some point somebody said, hey, you guys got to get out from behind these screens and interact. You know, we found out that three kids at his school have attempted to commit suicide, all within that age group. We're talking babies. That hits home. So I'm like, what can we do? What can we do? So the anti-donut meet, unfortunately, even though my son, you know, missed this last one, I don't know if you remember, I pre-prepped preemptively leading up to that event, posted some videos with the facts of today's statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad to find out that children as young as five are taking their own lives.
That's bizarre.
It blows my mind. So yeah, they're not in the car scene, but as we spoke to before, not everybody needs to be into cars necessarily. To be a part of this, you have generations, people who bring their kids, you know?
They do.
And it's good for them to understand, like, hey, this little decal that you're about to get, you know, limited edition style, collect, it means something. It means you're a part of something. It means that we're all here for each other. If you need anything, we're more than just an automotive scene. And we're going to keep coming together and trying to, you know, prove our point to the world, whether it's the media, local businesses, local PD, that there is a whole other side of this community that not only wants to just get together, but like make a difference, you know? I definitely think more of it needs to be happen more often, but because people look forward to it, but I'm still working on finding a way to kind of keep something continuous, but not so repetitive, you know, that people stop coming as much. But yeah, the anti-donut meet means a lot. Hopefully people will all catch on, all ages.
Going back to something you said earlier, why do you think people trust you so easily?
I mean, that's a great question. Maybe because they see it. Sometimes people say they can tell, you know, that somebody's been through a lot. Or maybe it's because I'm open about it now on social media. So social media is a little bit of a platform.
You're open.
I don't think I've ever been that person that shares anyone else's business either, because I could keep confidential information, you know? And like, obviously if somebody was going to hurt themselves or do something like that, I would guide them in the right direction. I've done that before, you know, like, hey, I don't want to be the only one that knows this. Like, you know, kind of tell them you need to talk to your parents.
Right.
You
don't put this on me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I've been in that situation with family. I've been in that situation with people, but, my doctor calls it empath. You're an empath. And maybe it's because I kind of say to them, you know, you can talk to me if you need. I do it all the time. You don't know if you ever catch the post to you on Instagram where I'll say on my story, if you ever need anyone to talk to you, I don't care if I don't know you and you're on the other side of the country or in a different, complete, you know, part of the world. And I've had people that I will probably never meet in real life. We now follow each other, you know, on Instagram that just have shared the story. So it sometimes it affects me a little more than I would like it to, you know, being an empath, you kind of carry that weight.
Mm-hmm.
But when I feel like I can get to a point with that person where they understand, okay, yeah, I need to either get help or let me look into this thing you mentioned or, you know, and I follow up. I literally have an alarm. People are going to think I'm crazy. I have an alarm set on my phone that goes off every couple of days and it says, check on your homies. And whoever has been on my mind, whoever I haven't talked to in a minute, whoever's kind of gone a little quiet, or even somebody who I'm like noticing like has just had like this big shift in their life or, you know what I'm saying? In that moment when that alarm turns off, I don't care what I'm doing. It's go time. I start hitting people up. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? How have things been? You know, because that sometimes that's all
powerful.
It takes. Yeah. Selfishly, I've always wanted people to do that with me. You know, like when you're in your darkest moments and you go MIA for a little bit, when you don't hear from anybody, you're almost like, nobody even notices that I'm. So, you know, there is times where I'll be like, you know, it'd be like a couple of days or something. You know, I help run social media. So it's pretty rare if you don't see me posting every couple of days. But if I put something out there that like I'm going through it, if anybody needs to talk or there's something going on, sometimes it's like the moon is messing with everybody. It feels like everybody's going through something at the same time. But yeah, you know, I think it's just because I know what it feels like when you're going through something and you tap out of everything and the phone never rings. Or, you know, the text message, it just never pops up and you're thinking, damn, exactly that. Does anybody even care? And, you know, I don't know if it makes a difference when I do this and reach out to people and some of them are, you know, perfect strangers or I only know them from passing by, but they have somehow mentioned something to me that made me feel like I'm going to check in on this person, you know?
Why do you continue to do these shows? I mean, obviously for the anti-donut donut meet, I think it's pretty clear, but being an empath and with all this information and you have your own personal, you know, demons that you go through, you're always working as well. What would you do with yourself if there was just nothing to do?
I wouldn't be here. I mean, I'm going to be as honest and as clear as possible. I think what keeps me here is the ability to do whatever it is that I put my mind to. It's kind of odd to have that kind of confidence at the same time, be so stuck, you know, in my head and think I can't do this. Everyone's going to judge me. You know what I'm saying? It's like I've got like two sides. One side is like the super insecure. You know, what is everybody going to think to?
Because you're terrified sometimes. You're larger than life at these events.
Yeah.
People look at you like, oh, wow, that's Mimi.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you the story of the first time I saw you.
Yeah, they almost don't know what to do.
It's that's like, that Mimi chick.
Or they'll DM me and say, send me a picture of myself, okay, at an event that they're at from a distance.
Yeah.
They're just like, I just saw you. I'm like, bro.
Say what's up.
Come say hi. You know, but I get it because at the same time I'm telling them to do that, I feel like I'm telling them to do that because I understand what that feels like. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, don't come over and talk to me because I'm going to be a hot mess. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
I mean, I feel like I continue to do these things because it's, you know, it's part of my purpose, I feel like, in life. I've been This dog, I'm sorry. I see you looking at her.
She's looking at me.
I know, but is she not the most well-behaved little thing? Like, look at this.
Jade is wonderful.
She is. She's my lifesaver.
You want to tell people what Jade is?
But yeah, this is Jade the service dog. I got Jade a year and 5 months ago, a suggestion of my psychiatrist. And I think it was something that we came to the realization that I needed in my life because I was not leaving my house for a while. And like I said, I have agoraphobia. I don't know if anyone knows what that is, but
tell us.
It's like the fear of something bad happening. So that is something that happened. I think as a child, my sister said, you know, once I was diagnosed with it in my 40s, that she thought I always had. The social anxiety has kind of always been there. Weird things that we started talking about that she kind of reminded me of as a kid. I'm like, oh, yeah. So, wow, okay, I've been this way for a minute, you know. But the agoraphobia thing really kicked in like twofold, not even the pandemic. It was something that happened while I was working that every time I went into work, this situation would happen over and over and over again to the point where I would be sitting in my car in the parking lot, literally crying because I was like, I don't want to go inside because it's going to happen again. You know what I mean? And it wasn't a small thing. It was a big thing, like a big traumatic thing that would happen that would literally force my body to go into fight or flight mode. You release all this cortisol, and I started suffering from like extreme panic attacks, which is something I used to have in the past. Extremely debilitating to the point where, you know, it ruins the rest of your day once you have that type of panic attack. And I was having so many panic attacks back to back to back as a form of this PTSD, you know, this fear of going out, that I now have a heart condition. It's called atrial tachycardia. Who would have thought? So like at 40, I felt like everything just started going bam, 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 bam. But it's really like my childhood that, you know, you run from all these things for so long that they kind of come back. Mm-hmm. And I think what ended up happening was everything was spiraling out of control and causing all of these other issues. So between the agoraphobia, the social anxiety, I developed panic disorder, the atrial tachycardia, which, you know, the top of your heart beats faster than the bottom of your heart. And that's from having multiple panic attacks over 180 beats. Yeah, it's like the verge of cardiac arrest. So if I continued to have those panic attacks, I would suffer from heart failure. So they were like, you're either going to need to go on heart medication, which, you know me, I hate medication.
Right. Yeah.
You know, with that, and then I was diagnosed with bipolar, which again, I've also had, they think, since I was younger. It was either take a solid 10 different types of medications for all these things, because I also have ADHD, like, you know, or get a service dog and have her or him at the time. It was, you know, I didn't know what I was going to get. Identify through a bond when I'm about to either have an episode, be it PTSD, panic attack, whatever, because you release chemicals. Like, you know, diabetics, they have mm-hmm. dogs that can sense that
yep.
sweet smell. But I guess you release cortisol, your body starts reacting a certain way. I have certain things that I start to do when I feel like I'm about to panic. And, you know, teaching Jade one-on-one how to start to pick up on these things at like 8 weeks old, she was like clockwork. It was like she was born to do yeah. this. And she got it so quickly that it was almost scary. It was almost like she picked up really fast that, hey, you're this way until you're this way. And when you're this way, I feel like she knew I need to do something to keep you present, like keep you here so you don't go full blown. And that now prevents me from having to take my panic medication, which is very, it's like a huge sedative. Can't really function on it. Literally can't drive, slurred speech, you know. So I don't have to take that, thanks to Jade. I don't have to take my heart medication, which is also very much slows you down, you know. There's quite a few things that I'm not taking because of her. So she can retrieve medication if I'm ever, you know, having an episode where I'm like, let's say, in a corner and I can't move and I'm freaking out. She knows how to retrieve a bottle that I've trained her.
Nice.
Inside this little case, of course, because we don't want the bottle to pop open. And there's all these videos that, like, I kind of just posted them up on her Instagram page, which is Jade the Service Dog.
Is it all ran together?
Yeah, one word. No underscores, no nothing else. Jade the Service Dog. And I taught her myself how to do all this stuff. I did watch a couple YouTube videos. But they say that it's better for you to train your own service dog because they build such a close bond with you that they don't need, you know, a trainer per se to try to act a panic attack or whatever. And I guess everybody smells different, whatever. But
right.
She is 9 pounds of amazing. So for those of you who are listening, she's a wire hair miniature Dachshund. I reached out to a breeder. It's the first time in my life I've ever done that. All my animals are rescues. But I needed a dog that I knew had, you know, longevity,
mm-hmm.
good genes, could get the paperwork that said, you know, hey, these are the parents. So I knew her history, medical history, everything. And I needed them to pick a certain type of dog. So I literally said to the woman, in your next litter, I need the dog that wants to not leave your side.
Mm-hmm.
It's not running around with all the puppies. And literally, she like took a picture of Jade, little nugget at the time, probably the size of my hand, laying on her leg while all the other dogs were running around in the grass, you know? And she said, this is how this dog is all the time. She always wants to be around the humans. I said, sold.
Right.
That's the one.
That's the one.
She's a really good dog. And as you can see, she's chilling in my lap right now.
Feeling at home in the heart.
I mean, she loves your dog. He was so excited. He was like, I'm 14, but I can still.
That's right. She makes him feel young again. So for the people listening to this who don't actually know who you are, because a lot of us hopefully do here in Arizona.
Yeah.
Mimi Rat or Die. Tell them how to get a hold of you, where to follow you, and go ahead and give us a little nugget we haven't talked about.
Mm.
And, you know, tell them a little bit about the music.
There's a post I put up the other day. It relates to this, where it said that this guy was 37 and he had been like three different major things in his life already, like a scientist, this, that, and the other thing, a doctor. And I said, you know, it's kind of funny because I was Mimi the rock star, you know, from like a kid until, I mean, I still play music, but I was actually a signed artist in my 20s. And then I became Mimi the corporate trainer, which is, I don't even know how I got into that world, but dude, I did it for like 8 years. It served its purpose, learned a lot, still use it to this day. And then, you know, Mimi, the business owner that does detailing, right? So you got rad_details. We do it out of our garage. Social media content and all that stuff, which I mean, I don't know if when we first met, I think I was doing that for Superior Image Car Care when we first met because they were just getting started with that. Sick products. Remember that conversation?
Yep.
The acronym SICC. But yeah, and then I'm kind of bringing back like full circle all of the skills I learned being, you know, a signed musician because I played the role of my own manager, my own booking agent, you know, handled all my own legal documents. And then all the stuff I learned from the brokerage and banking world with fraud and project management and all these other things. I'm a Six Sigma certified green belt. Just nothing to do with karate, you know. All of these things.
Probably get you further in life in karate.
Yeah. Customer service excellence trainer, which I've actually written the white glove training for a 1-800 number that's used globally. You know, I took all of that and kind of applied it to being a business consultant, which even though I'm doing, you know, my music on the side. I've got a couple singles out there now. I work with my brother-in-law, Unity of Noise Records. We're actually at our like 7th song for my album right now, which how do I find all the time to do this? I have no idea. I wish I was better at kind of managing all of these things. But again, if I did not have all this stuff to do, I don't know what I would do with myself. I'm just kind of, you know, making things happen. It's either rad or it dies. Got to live. Do it up.
And that's rad or die on Instagram.
Yep. Rad or die _. There is a rad or die, I think, like a t-shirt brand or something like that out there.
Oh, that's not you. They're trying to steal your name.
Damn. No, but yeah. I just, you know, I just try to do whatever I feel like doing. If I'm good at it, cool. If I'm not, it was fun. And Jade
said, being said, Jade's like, Mimi, thanks for coming in studio. We'll have to do this again next time, not with coffee.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
It's time for the Q&A segment brought to you by The Credit Mix. Fix your credit, fix your life. Text HB Credit to 7374-CREDIT. That's 737-427-3348. Schedule your 15-minute credit consult today. Text HB for Hard Rock Credit. That's The Credit Mix with two E's. Fix your credit, fix your life. Nick Keck, just the tip. Welcome to the Hard Parking Podcast. Thank you for being on the Q&A segment. And you haven't been on the show before, but you have submitted questions early on. So I'm glad you were able to stop by on your way home to help me out with this.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Hey, we're just going to hop right into it. These questions are submitted by Drede, Red, John, Sean, and Jen. First question is, will the Big Three finally release their ultra miles per gallon machines that we all presumed that they locked away? I don't know if I assumed that anyway. So basically what the question is do the Big Three manufacturers in the United States have these super awesome miles per gallon machines that they just are waiting for the opportunity to release?
I 100% believe so. You can even look at the new Ford Maverick that was just released, not the EcoBoost, but the hybrid version. There's people on the forums talking about they're seeing highway miles per gallon of 50 plus miles per gallon in a small pickup. That's impressive to me. That just blows my mind. So an average of 40, 45 in a pickup truck, like that's unheard of. So I definitely feel that the Big Three they have something hidden.
The other half of this question is that are they keeping them hidden because of pressures for the EV movement, like Tesla and all these other manufacturers that are coming out? Are they just going to keep them hidden, or are they going to try to enter the EV space with lesser versions to the contemporaries and literally evolve in front of us? But I don't think so. The way I understand the automotive industry to work is they have concepts, and sometimes concepts can be years in advance, but they don't really develop as much time into those concepts if the rest of the world isn't focused on those concepts. And so from that, I mean, we had the miles per gallon conversation, I think the last time I did the Q&A, and someone had asked with how things have gone with evolution of vehicles, why aren't we getting like 50 miles per gallon in our big V8s and stuff? I said, well, because when we had the opportunity in the 70s, Americans said, screw you, we want the big power. Screw the little, you know, four banger gas mileage. And that's why until the EPA said, hey, you guys need to figure this shit out, a la bailouts, a la everything else. But you think they are? I don't think they're really holding these super high tech machines.
I don't think they're holding anything back because it wouldn't benefit them in any way.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, I'm sure they're developing some, you know, as an example that you used. And we've seen like prototypes years ago of things that probably still haven't come out.
Right.
Or came out underneath something else. It's almost like you see the prototype drawing of a car, or you see it somewhere, you're like, man, like the
Mark IV or the Mark V, that pictures people were just posting recently.
Yeah.
We thought it was, what it ended up being.
I was just going to say the FT1 to the Mark V. And it's like, when I saw that, I immediately said, that's not going to be like that. Knowing what I know, I went to school for that shit for like a year before I filled it out. It's not going to be like that. More fun question, because that was a good answer too, by the way. Red asked, how many people died for us to figure out what plants are edible and which are not? Have you ever thought about that? I think about shit like that all the time.
Once in a while, something will cross my mind. Because like the biggest thing that always confuses me is like, how did we know what food was edible? Not necessarily plants, but just food in general. Like, who was the guy that was like, milk?
Right. Who decided to crawl underneath a goat?
Yes.
Or a cow? You know, how many elk were milked?
Right.
Right? I mean, that's the real thing. And I've always wondered weird shit like that. Like, who decided that that berry was good and that berry was going to kill you?
Right.
And the only answer I can come up with is slave labor.
100%. I mean, I'm sure they used slave labor as test mules.
Like, wait a minute. They're not only dying, but they look at them. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. But I don't know how many people, but that's always something I've wondered. It sounds like you've wondered. I think a lot of people wonder that.
Right. There's always something that you're curious on in that. Like, who was the first?
And side note, people think this is gross. And I think it's just gross because we're people and it's us. But take ice cream. Make ice cream out of cow's milk. You can make it out of other stuff.
if it's really that good for us, why aren't we making it out of people milk?
Right.
Fair question. And then
absolutely.
In Europe, I think, what was it? A few years ago, I think somebody came up with breast milk ice cream and it sold out. And then they just, someone came through and just cut that shit out. Just disappeared. I'm not saying I want to try it, but that's a fair question.
Well, I mean, I think they probably got rid of it because it was like, you can't justifiably milk humans for mass production.
They have sweatshops to make Nikes. I can't, what would that look like? What would that look like?
You just have a room full of women with cups.
And like, would they even really be people, or would they be like not real people? Like, you see this all the time in like Mad Max for, you know, women for breeding and stuff like that, where they're not even, I would imagine a bunch of lactating women that look like sloth. The Goonies or something, right? Because they've been locked away in dark. No one's allowed to see them. It's like, where does this stuff
come from? I pictured like a room full of like Malaysian women.
Yeah.
Like they're sitting there like holding a baby. So the baby's like crying to cause them to lactate. And they're just.
Is that what causes? Like, I have no idea what the science is behind that.
I don't really have a whole lot of sources, but I've always heard that my only source is Kevin from The Office. And
that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, yeah. I thought so. Yeah. And they talked about a baby crying will trigger a woman to begin lactating when they are postpartum.
So if they have the babies, I think that they can get in trouble there with the infants. Mm-hmm. So I think what I can really hear them doing is playing baby crying over the PA or something.
There you go.
You know, or yeah. They're just strapped down. They have these things on their head, they can't control it. Kind of like the precogs of Minority Report, how they're all strapped to these tables and they right. start screaming and then a ball rolls out. Yeah. So they start screaming and then just milk just starts flowing and ice cream just starts getting made. Moving on.
Yeah.
John asked, what will it take for the world to get out of this pandemic?
I have no idea. Everybody wants to know that.
Yeah, I agree. Because since day one, right, it's just a bunch of theories. Like, we all are, and this is why, so people, I'm going to ask you a personal question. Are you vaccinated?
I am not.
Why are you not vaccinated?
I don't like the way that the government is almost like forcing us. Not forcing, but saying you have to. Why do I have to do this? I mean, you think about the last 50 years, America has had a pandemic with weight, but they didn't get rid of McDonald's. That wasn't a big deal. Just keep pumping money into it. But why is this one, I have to do it? Why is it being forced upon me? And that's, I mean, we know it's a real thing. I've lost friends, right. But it's, why are you forcing me to do something? Like if it was, and you think about like when you're a teenager, your parents say you can't do this. So as a child, the kids that I grew up with in high school, their parents were like, you can't smoke weed. Don't smoke weed. Don't do drugs. Well, they did it because they're told they couldn't. My parents were like, hey, we know you're going to. Just be smart about it. And there was no challenge there, no fighting the man. So I just didn't. I was like, that's no big deal. Nobody cares. But the kids that they do care, they're like, well, I got to do it to spite my parents. And I just feel like the government is like saying, you have to. And for my sake, I'm like, well, if you're telling me I have to, there's something behind it. I don't like the agenda or what it portrays as the agenda. And that's what throws me off.
I think that, I think the other half of that is it's hard for people who are hesitant. Some people just don't like being told what to do. And I don't know if that's really it. It kind of is, but it kind of isn't. At least for a large chunk of the population. But I think that the optics show so far that it's not as conclusive as you would believe if you did get it, because people are still getting COVID. People are still dying from COVID. And there's a lot of people who are vaccinated, but there's a lot of people who aren't. And then there's a statistic that says, sure, 99.9% of the people who are in the hospital right now with COVID did not get the vaccination. And I understand that, but I also understand the hesitancy. I think it's a tricky thing to kind of navigate through for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I am vaccinated. I'm vaccinated because my mother-in-law is heavily at risk. I don't know if I would have jumped to get vaccinated since I sit at home out every day anyway, but it's because she's at risk. And if she gets, that's a wrap. for the most part. Absolutely. It's not 100%, but, you know, for the most part. And I mean, as we talk about this right now, you know, Ben from Gears and Gasoline is, you know, sitting in a hospital having machines do his breathing for him. The smaller Ben, because I don't know what his status was either, if he did or he didn't. And I don't know if it would have mattered, but, you know, what would it take for the world to get out of this pandemic? My answer is the same as yours. I don't know. I don't think anybody really does.
No,
it's just theories. It's been theories from day one.
Yeah, everybody's just, now it's just a constant conflict.
Yep.
They've turned it into a civil war.
Yeah, anytime something becomes politicized, it becomes even trickier.
Right.
And that's, you know, to your point. Next question is kind of along those lines. Is American exceptionalism good or bad for the world?
I guess I would have to lean towards good. I mean, there's a reason people want to be in America, because we set ourselves apart. We are the land of the free. So it gives everybody that opportunity. Yeah, in theory. I mean, still compared to a lot of countries, we are. And it gives everybody that opportunity to be successful. So yeah, I would have to lean towards,
Not a lot of places I think I would want to live in the world. Having traveled, I'm not a world traveler. But as someone who's been a few different places, and you see all the stories for places you haven't been, and you watch the documentaries, and I'm not talking about documentaries that are made to brainwash you, but hell, like Anthony Bourdain is going around eating food. You know, you see how people live.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, there's no agendas to that. And I'm just like, man, this is the best country in the world, I think. But I think it's also dangerous, and it breeds animosity from outside of the United States. And for us, I think some of the best things about this country, or the worst things about this country, as I've said before in the past, I think, you know, not to get overly political, but I think freedom of choice has its limits, but it doesn't here. And I think there should be certain very specific things that freedom of choice, freedom of expression just should not apply. Like, I don't think you should be allowed to burn the American flag if you're an American and you're in the country of America. In a lot of other countries, you can get killed for that.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, if you want to say, you know, screw the United States, I hate this place, fine, that's your freedom of speech. But if you want to burn the flag in your front yard, I'm not saying go to jail, but there needs to be some sort of penalty, in my opinion, that comes along with that, because that's bullshit.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But I mean, I'm also a veteran, so I've lost brothers and sisters that have fought for the flag. So to me, it sits a little bit and weighs on my heart a little bit more than a lot of people.
Thank you for your service. Yeah, I want to fight people when I see shit like that on TV.
Right.
You know, I want to fight. I want to fight people when I see, I mean, this is a sensitive topic as well, but I want to fight people when I see them on TV throwing buckets of water at police that are just walking down, you know, the sidewalk in New York City trying to do their job.
Absolutely.
Not bother anyone. And they run up and laugh, throw water on them, and run away because they can. I said, no, that's bullshit.
100%.
Yeah. Next question. This is kind of fun. And I don't know what your opinion is on this. I'm about to find out. That's why I have you here. But the question is, what, if anything, did Honda learn from the failure of the NC1, which is the 2017-2022 NSX? And will there ever be another NSX? Do you think Honda or Acura failed with the car? That's a tough thing because, you know, how do we define failure, right?
Right. Because, I mean, some people, you look at an American automotive company, failures based on sales. But I don't think Honda went in, or Acura went into this hoping for mass production. I am not a big fan of the newer NSXs. I don't like the hybrid side of things with it. It really let me down. When I get inside them, they let me down because I feel like I'm sitting in a six-figure Honda Accord. It doesn't really set itself apart in that market. Sitting in like your NSX from that era, it's leaps and bounds ahead of everything.
Sure.
But the modern day NSX seems like it's a pig with some lipstick on it. And it just doesn't, that car's just never really done it for me. Now, performance wise, who's that out here? Jeff? That's got the white one that's like,
yeah,
full done up. It scoots. It's quick.
There's a few of them out here, but he's all over Instagram.
Yeah, like it's fast. And I'm impressed with the numbers he's laid down, how it performs. Absolutely. I mean, it's still a beautiful machine. It is well designed, but I just think they like, all right, we got this far. We're good enough. Let's get it out the door. Like, they didn't go that extra mile that I feel 80s and 90s Honda did.
So in that case, I mean, would you, it sounds like you would label it a failure. And if so, what do you think they would learn from that? And it's kind of a difficult question again. And then do you think there'll ever be another one?
It's hard to say. With the with how EVs are coming out, it's scary for those of us that are gearheads. I mean, who's to say in the next 10 years that the combustion engine's still around? So I don't know. I don't think they necessarily are going to learn from their mistakes because it's still sold. I don't think it hit the numbers that they probably would have hoped, but
it did
fine. Yeah, maybe just more refining.
Yeah, I think they got out of it what they wanted. And to echo you, I do think that they would have liked to have sold more. Some of the things that you mentioned are some of their complaints. It is a very capable car when you push it, for sure. I've driven a couple of them. I can't really defend some of the interior of it because that's a common thing. I wouldn't agree that the car failed in the way the question was framed.
Mm-hmm.
They use it to push out a bunch of new technology that they're spreading for the rest of their vehicles. Strong rumor has it that they've partnered up with Chevy, and some of that technology is in a version of the C8 that we'll see in the next year or so. And, you know, will there be another NSX? There will be. They've announced that there will be, and of course it's going to be full EV. It's going to have to be with the way things are going, with combustion engine potentially being gone in the next 10, 15 years. I think it'll take longer.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's like the futuristic movies, like iRobot. You know, he goes and gets his motorcycle out of storage type of deal. But first off, that's stale gas.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think he put Stabil in there.
Right.
But once he runs out of gas, he's probably screwed. Yeah. Sean asks, what are the benefits of leasing a car? What are the pitfalls you want to avoid if you can? I've leased a couple vehicles before. I don't know if you ever have.
Never.
I would say the benefits of leasing a car is you're not stuck with it. You have gap insurance. If something happens to the vehicle, usually that'll step in and take care of that. If you want to buy the car at the end of the lease, you can, or you can trade it in for its value towards a new lease vehicle. If you just like driving cars for driving cars, I personally don't think there's a problem with leasing a car as long as you don't drive all over the place so you don't go over the mileage, because then you pay heavy for it.
Right. That's my fear.
And that's one of the pitfalls you want to avoid if you can. Can't really modify the car. And if you do, it's got to be something that's reversible. I'll tell you a story. My second Integra, I threw a turbo on it, had a poor install. Car drove like a bat out of hell for a couple of weeks, and then I blew the motor. Yeah. And it was a lease vehicle.
Oh.
So, long story short, it sat at an Acura dealership for almost a year, until I finally scraped up enough money to buy a used motor off of someone else. Had the motor installed, and instead of turning the vehicle in, which I really couldn't do, at the end, I sold it to a buddy.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so if you're someone like me or you,
yeah,
probably don't want to lease a vehicle, unless you're leasing it for the sole purpose of saving money on the front end and buying it on the back end.
Yeah, and I've never leased a vehicle because growing up in Michigan, where I didn't have a huge commute, I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Now that I'm out here, right. Now that I'm out here, I'm more financially able, but I drive 100 miles a day round trip.
So, which wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
Wouldn't make any sense for you to lease a vehicle.
Right. And I'm not going to lease my fun car because I'm not going to keep it stock.
Right. And again, unless you know that you want to buy it, I think a lot of NSXs, the newer ones, again, I use that term newer loosely because it came out in 2017. A lot of the guys I know are leasing theirs, but they're leasing it with the intent on buying it. And I'm curious, you know, what happens when you enter into a lease agreement is they say, okay, this is a 36-month lease. We're going to guesstimate that at the end of 36 months, your vehicle is going to be worth this amount. So if it's worth less than that, most people, you just turn your vehicle in because you're not going to turn around and buy it,
right,
and pay more for it. You just turn it in and pick up something else. If it's worth more than that, then you may want to sell it to someone, and you pocket the difference. You know, so that's kind of one of those weird little things. It's perfectly legal, but that's one of those things that you can do with the lease that you can't do with a traditional purchase.
How's that work now, though, with 3 years ago, pre-pandemic, now prices of cars are astronomical.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are all those people that leased 3 years ago just making out like bandits right now?
Depending on the vehicle, potentially, you know, because there still has to be some desirability for the vehicle. But I don't know what the note looked like on the NSX then versus, you know, I was thinking at this time there'd be a ton of 2017s for dirt cheap because people are trying to get rid of them. And actually the value, the price of the car, along with the rest of the market, started to go up.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for a value one, value around the 120 mark. And there were a few out there last year, and now there's not very many at all.
Right.
Last question from Jen. What is something you want people to know about you that you don't think many people do?
Ooh, that's tough.
I got one.
What you got?
I'm more approachable than I look.
With you, I can definitely agree with that.
And I've never said that before because it's like, well, what is something nobody knows about you? Well, now that I've told everyone, now you all know.
Right.
But I think I'm more approachable than I look because I always look kind of stiff. I always look like I'm on sentry mode, you know, kind of guard of whatever right. I'm doing. And, yeah, and I don't talk nearly as much in person that I do on the podcast.
Yeah, you can definitely see in public, you're a very reserved person. You stand back and you watch and take it all in.
Like a bouncer.
Yeah, and you've definitely got a good RBF. So in the public eye, I can see where that would be intimidating to approach you as a person.
What about you?
Gosh, I would say I come off very blunt. Very rash, I'm a very in your face person, but deep down, I truly care about every single person that crosses my path. I might not be very nice, but just know that deep down, I really want the best for every single person that I meet. I will cheer anybody on, root anybody on, support them in anything that they do. Because I just want everybody to be happy. And I've learned over the last couple of years that is a part of being a Scorpio. Somebody has recently dove into my astrological side of things and explained that that's a very common sign amongst Scorpios, that they are very brash, rough, but they truly care about everybody. They care about everybody else before they care about themselves. And that is something I've always, lack of a better term, struggled with. Yep. So, yeah, absolutely. I'd give the shirt off my back for probably anybody. Doesn't matter who they are. If they need it, it's there. And, yeah, so that's always been, a lot of people probably don't know that about me.
Sounds good. Tell people how to get a hold of you.
You can reach me on Instagram, at justthetip with two P's.
All right, just a tip, Nick Keck. Thanks for coming through.
I want to thank Mimi and Nick for coming into the studio. It's always a good time. Get some FaceTime with people, get some laughs, you're able to kind of get their emotion. You can read the emotion on their face as they talk about different things that they are passionate about. Nick will be back as the Arizona Ride of the Week, so that'll be coming up in a future episode as we kind of try to wrap up this last quarter of the year. Should I take a few weeks off at the end of the year? Let me know, heartbrokenpodcast@gmail.com, or get a hold of me. You guys know how to get a hold of me. Most of you do. I want to thank Wright Honda out of Scottsdale, Arizona, Higher Quality Detail out of Tempe, Arizona, BoosterBath.com, FullOnline.com, TongueTreats.com, and Cell Shop Wireless Services. Can't forget The Credit Mix and Patreon business supporter Kuya Automotive out of Winter Garden, Florida. Also want to thank all the patrons for contributing to this podcast, the overall quality of this podcast. If you're in a position to help the podcast upgrade, you can join for as little as $3 a month and get access to bonus audio, as well as show swag. I'm going to try to come up with some new stuff and upload some new bonus audio. There's a lot of audio, so you guys can always ask if you want. Join us on the Hard Parking Violations Facebook page. That page is growing, so thank you so much for doing that. It gives you an opportunity to kind of interact. If you have wonky, silly photos and videos, post them up on that page. It doesn't have to be about cars. It could be about anything. Coming up in November, I'll be at Elite Tuner out here in Arizona with Wright Honda. So I'll be sharing a booth with them. And December 4th, Fuel Fest, of course. We've talked about that before when Jane was on. I plan to have some guests on to talk about Fuel Fest as well as Elite Tuner before both of those shows. If you want to reach the show, hardrockingpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram, which is the number one social media app that I'm engaged with right now. So that is Jay Fenning, JHAEPFENNING, or Jay Travels, JHAE_travels. Join the Facebook page, facebook.com/hardparkingmedia. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/hardparkingpodcast. Let's do this. Let's grow this thing together. I'll talk to you all next week.
Shut up!
Are you tired of blowing out your back at the bathtub while washing your dog or subjecting your canine to a water torture bath while leashed up to a post outside? Now there's a far more effective way to wash your pet while saving your back and keeping your dog happy. It's called Booster Bath, a portable bathtub on legs. Head over to boosterbath.com, one word, and pick one up. Available in three sizes, this tub system features a drain, a soap cubby, and water-controlling wand. This tub conveniently breaks down to be stored when not in use. Want to save 10% on your first-time purchase? Head over and sign up today to make that happen. Boosterbath.com.
Hey, this is Levi Epps, hashtag Mr. Financial Freedom of The Credit Mix, here with a special offer for Hard Parking Podcast fans. If you've been living with less than perfect credit for having evictions, late payments, bankruptcies, doesn't matter what it is, if it's something that negatively impacts your credit score and you're not able to get approvals for certain things, or maybe you got to pay large deposits and high interest rates, we don't want that to be you anymore. We have a program that will legally get negative items off of your credit report and keep them off. And we have a special code for a free consultation to see if we can help you. Text HP Credit to 7374Credit. That's HP Credit to 7374 27-3348. Let's get you back on the road to financial freedom.